Welcome back to another episode of the Catholic Buzz Podcast. Thanks for joining us today. My name is Father Daniele, and I'm joined by Josh Sullivan.
Yellow.
Welcome, Josh.
Thanks.
And Matt Van Milligan.
Hello.
Matthew, welcome.
Thank you.
Just before Easter, CTV released, I think it was Holy Thursday. I'm not sure, maybe the day before Holy Thursday. A survey conducted from 2,000 Canadians. And you know how they do these polls, the Angus Reid Institute. And they were polling them about what happens after we die, which was, you know, with the Easter weekend coming, it was probably a nice headline to throw in secular media, right? But the results here are pretty interesting to pay attention to, as far as we can pay attention to polls like this, I guess, right?
Yeah.
But
mainstream media.
Yeah, but interesting though that that would be a topic of survey.
Yeah.
Right? Like to poll Canadians about the afterlife for Easter weekend.
Yeah, that there's enough interest to invest the resources in conducting a poll.
Yeah, I thought so. And they interviewed people from all over the place. And I mean all over, like all different backgrounds is what I mean. And from different provinces and all those different things. So some of the results of the survey are really interesting. It says that when asked about belief in the afterlife, okay, it says that only 13% of Canadians said definitely do not believe in an afterlife.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
That is good.
I thought that was surprising a little bit.
But I guess what kind of afterlife do they believe in is the big question, right?
Well, yeah. But in general, that's a good consensus. We can we can celebrate that.
I would like to compare that number with how many atheists there are or would proclaim that they're atheists, you know? And I wonder if the numbers would match up or like if you have a higher proclaimed atheist but then still believe that there's something that goes on after.
Yeah, well, I think because, again, the category of people who believe in the afterlife, this would include people like psychics or mediums or people who go for that kind of thing, that like that category is broader than people who believe in, you know, heaven, for example.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this belief in the afterlife, actually the data holds steady from a survey seen back in 1960. So if you compare, if you compare that, 65 years almost, right? That when you see a decline in maybe the practice of faith, but you don't see a decline in the practice of it, maybe that's why, because there's other areas of...
Or does that suggest that we maybe have, on a sixth sense level, if I can, an inkling of an afterlife or something beyond this world, and maybe that's part of it. Like, it doesn't matter what we believe, but we believe that there's something else inside of us that helps us understand or believe that there's another thing.
Yeah, I think
a life to come.
I think most people hope that there's something.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's good. We can work with hope.
Yeah.
Okay? Yeah.
Okay, here's some more data. Okay, so belief in an afterlife. By province, no surprise, what province do you think had the least belief in the afterlife?
I'm going to say Ontario, Quebec.
Quebec would be my vote.
Quebec. And the statement, the release says that perhaps that owes to the province's higher propensity for secularism is what the survey concludes. Okay. And then it's at Muslim respondents were the most likely to report a belief in the afterlife, with 87% saying they believed somewhat or strongly.
Yeah.
87%. Christians, 76%.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah. Hindus, 71%. And Sikh, 67%. That was also kind of shocking to me that Christians
believe less. Yeah.
Leading up to the Easter weekend.
Resurrection.
When we talked about the resurrection. Yeah. And actually, if we go down to the graph, Christians, 39% said, yes, I definitely believe in the afterlife. Only 39%. The other 37% said, yes, I think so.
Interesting.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's still some
hedging their bets. They're
yeah. Yeah. Okay. And among Christian respondents, 48% of Catholics agreed or strongly. Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm jumping ahead here. So now the question is about Jesus's resurrection.
Okay.
Okay. And the people were asked about their beliefs regarding the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which was the holiday that we're about to celebrate. Of course, the survey came out just a few days before Easter. And so 48% of Catholics said that they agreed or strongly agreed that the resurrection of Jesus took place.
So yeah. 74% of Christians believe that there is life after death. But only
48% of Catholics
believe that he actually rose from the dead. So, but for everybody but Jesus,
yes, rose from the dead. It would be more interesting too if they published their methodology and we could do some kind of factor analysis on this because even stats with the mean big things. Even with the fact that we were talking about Quebec earlier, if part of the survey is that are you Catholic? You know, if you're in a part of Quebec or, that's still culturally Catholic or, somebody checks that box because, my mom was Catholic or, sure I am. And then it comes down to the question, what do you actually believe? Again, we've, in previous episodes, we've identified a disparity there between, what people kind of identify from a cultural level and, what their actual convictions are.
Very true. These, on this same question about belief of resurrection of Jesus among Canadians, number one, with strongly agree that it took place, was evangelical Christians.
Yeah, see, that does make that makes sense.
And you add in the somewhat agree, and you're up to 78%, right?
Wow, yeah.
And so Roman Catholics, I said 48% strongly agree and somewhat agree. But if you just want to take the ones that said, I strongly agree that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, 24%.
Wow.
I know, kind of disheartening.
I would say 75% of people don't believe he rose from the dead. I think, isn't it St. Paul? And
I don't know if it says that 75% of people don't believe he rose from the dead.
Don't strongly agree. Yeah. But that doesn't say that, is it St. Paul in Corinthians that says, if Jesus didn't die, rose from the dead, then what's the point of our faith?
Then our faith is in vain. Yeah. Interesting number here, like 25%. I'm not sure what I did here. I just found out an interactive way to look at this map. Wow. In the strongly agree category, 11% of Muslims said they strongly agree Jesus rose from the dead. And 15% of them said they somewhat agree that Jesus rose from the dead.
It's 26%?
Yeah.
26% of Muslims
strongly or somewhat agree that Jesus rose from the dead, and in that same category, 48% of Catholics.
Okay, half, but that's
yeah, I know. So these are some.
What about Jewish people? Do we have Jewish people in there?
Yes,
because that would be interesting.
4% of Jewish people said they strongly agree.
Yeah, that makes sense. Because it kind of tears apart.
5% said they somewhat agree. And 56% said they strongly disagree that Jesus rose from the dead. It was the largest number of strongly disagrees.
Because they would have to in order for their faith to continue, right?
Right. Otherwise, 17%, this is where it comes to what you said about who's taking this survey. Because 17%, according to this survey, of Roman Catholics said they strongly disagree that Jesus rose from the dead.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
I know.
But
In that case, like even for the number that accounts for the slightly disagree or strongly disagree, and I won't dare do the math in real time because that would be embarrassing, but what is the substance of their faith if not, there's a stated disagreement that kind of the cornerstone event of our entire faith is, at the very least kind of suspect, but... even if they outright agree, disagree.
And here are the two things that this survey, I think, brings up that it might be good to elaborate a little bit on here today is, number one, these numbers compared to the Canadians who believe in an afterlife and Canadians who believe in Jesus Christ rising from the dead, I think has implications for obviously, the way we live our life, right? Mm-hmm. Because you're right. If there are some people who say that they're Catholic, strongly disagree that Jesus rose from the dead, like, what is the basis of our faith? Like, the basis of our faith is the resurrection, yeah. right? If Jesus just died on Good Friday and that was the end of the story, then all would be for nothing, yeah. right? But it's the resurrection that gives us new life. It's the resurrection that gives us faith. It's the resurrection that shows that God overcomes all things and that God is who he says he is,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So you're right about that. So when we talk about... on one hand, it seems like there's a desire for an afterlife from Canadians, yeah. right? Because yeah. there's 87% yeah. of Canadians say that there's an afterlife. Only 13% said they strongly disagree
yeah.
that there's no afterlife, right? That there is an afterlife is what I meant, right? Strongly disagree that there is an afterlife. Yeah. Yeah. So that means 87%, according to the survey, of course, we're using numbers according to the survey. Then that means that there's some sort of desire for life after here.
Yeah.
Which is exactly what Jesus promises us, right?
Interesting. So that's a way we can evangelize.
Exactly. Because I think as Catholics, as Christians, look at the evangelicals who resoundingly said yes in the resurrection. As Christian people, are we living our faith in such a way that is not pointing towards the resurrection?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, think about the celebrations we had at Easter. We walk through the Easter celebrations. We walk through the celebrations of the Last Supper, Good Friday, Easter. All of those things are meant to transform us.
Yeah.
You know, we don't just celebrate them every year to say we're doing something on an anniversary. They're meant to transform us. They're meant to renew us, right? So when we celebrate Easter, we're also celebrating new life in us. That's that's the whole point of going through the 40 days of Lent.
Yeah.
We're trying to come out new people, right? So in what ways can we, as Christians, as Catholics, help others to know that Jesus rose from the dead? It's not just something that we say happened. It's something that we live. Yeah. It's our faith.
Yeah, well, the numbers themselves, I think, kind of speak to just kind of the hardwired desire for the supernatural or recognition that, you know, the possibility of the supernatural. But then, you know, tying that to the miraculous, tying that to the sacramental life, that, you know, if you identify, you know, with this, you know, cross section of culture that's, you know, Catholic or culturally Catholic, or and you don't believe in the resurrection, then it's like, okay, well, put that into context. You know, we believe that a miracle happens every time, kind of the Eucharist is confected. Yeah. Even look at kind of the martyrdom of the early apostles. You know, they believed so much in the resurrection that they were willing to die for it. You know, it wasn't just like, oh, well, I have this kind of wishy-washy belief in this thing. It's like, no, many of them were kind of believed it so much that it was the highest good. It was, you know, it what compelled them on a lot of their kind of missionary activity. Again, the fact that we can kind of maintain this identity, that we can maintain at least kind of some vague idea of the supernatural and not tie that to either the miraculous aspect of the sacramental life or, you know, the resurrection itself, it's kind of baffling to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it affects the way we live our life in general, because if we don't believe that Jesus actually rose from the dead, then I think that has implications for the hope that we have, right? Like what's, and everything else that falls from it. If we don't believe that Jesus rose from the dead, what's the point of following his commandments? What's the point of praying? Mm-hmm. What's the point of trying to grow closer in our personal relationship with Christ? Like, what is the point of all that? If Jesus hasn't risen from the dead, then what's to say that we will?
So what is the Catholic Church teaching? I mean, we've covered this many times in different podcasts, I know. But so our options when we die are we're going to heaven or we're going to hell, right? That's our Catholic belief and teaching.
Well, at the time of our death, we will be judged and we will be sent to heaven or purgatory.
Yes, on the path to heaven.
Yes, and or condemned to hell.
Yeah.
Right? So there's three options
yeah.
there. But of course, purgatory brings us to
on a path, yeah.
heaven.
You can't go back when you get to purgatory. You can't go back to hell. I mean, you're on your way to heaven. But right. You got two roads. One's going to heaven. One's going to hell. Purgatory is a stop along the way, yeah. potentially. Yeah.
And we also believe that on the last day that we will be raised. Mm-hmm. Like the resurrection is something that Jesus, he rose from the dead. We will rise from the dead. Mm-hmm. Like on the last day, we will rise with the Lord. Right? And our resurrection will be like his.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And it's the fact or the event of the resurrection itself that actually enables that or creates the possibility for that.
Exactly. Yeah. And so that's why I think, as a priest, you know, you celebrate these 40 days of Lent, you celebrate these beautiful celebrations of Easter. Right now, we're in the middle of the Easter season. Easter is 50 days long. Mm-hmm. You know, our focus is on the resurrection. Yeah.
10 days more than the lamenting of Lent.
Right. And, you know, as we're celebrating the Easter season, we're celebrating the resurrection. Every Sunday, we celebrate the resurrection.
Yeah.
Right? Like, everything about our faith is the resurrection. And so to see that maybe people don't understand that or maybe don't really have the confidence to say that in a survey or whatever it might be.
I think one of the areas that we need to look at, I've told you guys about this before, but one of the ways that kind of really got me excited this Lent as I was going through it was the Shroud of Turin. And so looking at the Shroud of Turin and looking at, a lot of people remember that the Shroud of Turin back in, I think it was 98 or something else, was or 88 or something, was apparently scientifically proven to be false. But they've actually discarded that proof after 20, 30 years, I think it was in 2017, and taken it back. And the journal printed a retraction to what happened in 88 because the scientific method wasn't followed properly. And so now when we start looking into it, like people have written PhDs on the Shroud of Turin. And so if it – now your whole existence and your whole faith can't be based on one – potential piece or article. Obviously, that's not it. But what it does is it supports a lot of what we know about the resurrection. And I was just like, wow, this is such a cool thing. And as I dive deeper and deeper into it, my faith just kind of comes alive more and more as I understand more about the resurrection through the Shroud of Turin. Again, not using it that it's like if someone came out and said, oh, well, we figured it out again, and yeah, no, it's the blood of a pig on there. It's not a, but it's, my faith is not going to be ruined. But the cool things that we've discovered through the Shroud. And that is now coming more with the scientific evidence that we have and the scientific proofing. It's really kind of cool to understand through the Bible and the story of the resurrection through those eyes. You know, yeah. Which is kind of cool.
So I think that's interesting. That trying to do some factor analysis. You know, okay, why is there maybe a decrease in people's belief in the afterlife and specifically belief in Jesus' resurrection from the dead, is that like you could say, okay, well, there's a distrust or a growing distrust in the institutions of religion. You could
That's
say
true, yeah.
that there's a growing, you would say, scientific skepticism of, you know, the supernatural in general. And you can say, well, I don't want to hinge my faith on, you know, this particular evidence that is verifiable by science, because what if it's falsified at some point? That's going to
exactly.
whatever. But it seems like people are willing to do this in the other direction.
Oh, yeah.
That even you had kind of movements in Protestant theology where there's an attempt to scientifically or rationally explain away the miracles in the Gospels. That yes. There was no these events didn't happen. Jesus didn't turn water to wine. Because
5,000 loaves. Yeah,
we can give a rational explanation, and the idea is that we can make religion, we can make faith more palatable to people if we couch it in kind of scientific terms. But I think that there's something disappointing with that, that you were saying kind of, that if we don't believe in the resurrection, it results in this kind of hopelessness or like, okay, well then what do we, whatever. But you can say, the opposite might be true. You know, people are willing to take the scientific evidence or take, you know, whatever evidence supports their confirmation bias, you can take, that a general, you would say, kind of hopelessness that resulted from kind of the materialist understanding of, how humans came into existence. That if we're just, you know, matter, that we're just a collection of cells, you know, like there's a hopelessness that follows from that that can lead to kind of the rejection or the denial of the supernatural, that can lead to the rejection. So you could point to kind of a larger kind of cultural malaise, at least at the very least in Western civilization, to say that, well, it's prompted this scientific skepticism, which leads us to, at the very least, kind of doubt the resurrection of Christ. But again, whether you know, the hopelessness causes the lack of belief, or the lack of belief causes the hopelessness, the result is kind of the same.
Yeah. Think of the times that we focus on the resurrection in our spiritual lives, right? Most people, obviously, we focus on the resurrection on Easter Sunday. We focus on the resurrection during Easter season, right? But in day-to-day Christian life, how often do people focus on the resurrection? Perhaps maybe they're thinking of the afterlife, which doesn't seem to be a problem, at least in Canada, by this this survey. Maybe they think about the afterlife near the end of their earthly life, right? Like, I meet a lot of people at the end of their life who are asking questions about the end. What's it going to be like? Will God forgive me? Will, you know, all those sort of questions that go part and parcel with the afterlife, right? How often do we actually talk about the fact that Jesus is risen? Like, I don't know... I don't know if people, when we pray, we understand that, you know, Jesus is alive. Mm-hmm. You know, Jesus is here with us. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes we send our prayers up to the clouds, you know?
Well, and I wonder too, like, I was thinking about when we talk about funerals. When we talk about funerals, one of the things that I think we do a disservice to people is being like, oh, they're in heaven now. We talked about this on another podcast. But when we say those types of things, because I know that I've been at funerals where they say that, and I'm like, yeah, probably not. but not that I'm one to judge. You know, like, I do clarify with, no, I'm not the one to judge this. But like, when they say, I'm like, yeah, probably not. That's what's going through my mind. But I wonder how many other people are thinking the same thing. And in thinking that, then it I have a faith in the resurrection and in forgiveness, and that I'm not the one to judge, even though I do sometimes. People that don't have that faith, when they're like, oh, well, they'll be in heaven now, and how much they're like, well, if he goes to heaven, then there's really like, there's no rules to this whole thing.
I think that's a good point. But again, we're pointing towards, like, when someone's coming to the end of their life, we're pointing towards heaven. We're pointing towards whatever.
Yeah.
But we're never talking about the resurrection.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's, I think, the distinction that people miss out on. Like, you're right. People, to comfort one another, probably.
Yes.
Right at when someone dies, they say, well, they're in heaven.
Yeah.
It's not impossible for someone to go directly to heaven, right?
No, yeah.
But
we got multiple saints there. Yeah.
Exactly. But more than likely, I don't know. I don't know. There's probably a period of purification that has to take place in purgatory. Right. But you're right. As soon as someone is coming to the end of their life, or we are, you know, celebrating, maybe a funeral mass or things like that, we're talking about heaven or hell, but, not a lot of mention to the resurrection, to new life.
Yeah. And I wonder, is part of that is because we don't know other than what we have through the saints and through the teachings and that kind of stuff. But whereas there's maybe been a lot more focus on heaven and hell than there has been. And maybe that's from our Jewish tradition as well. Like, there, you know, that there's going to be something. But the resurrection wasn't really discussed. Like, we don't have a lot of, I'm going to say, scriptural references other than in the New Testament. Oh, I guess we have it in the Old Testament too. So I don't know.
And I think maybe today there is this curiosity about the afterlife. You hear stories about people who say they've gone to heaven, or, you know, they've died, seen Jesus come back to life here. You know, there's books, there's movies, there's things like that. There's stories about the afterlife. But we don't really talk about the second coming of Jesus.
Yeah.
And we don't really talk about
the Catholic faith,
the resurrection of the dead. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe it's time for a renewal in those two areas of our life, that we are awaiting the second coming of Jesus. Like, whether we meet Jesus first at our time of judgment when we die, or the Lord comes, right? That is our belief, the second coming of Jesus. He's coming. And I don't think people feel comfortable talking about that, right? It makes them sound kind of like rapture type Christians.
Should be wearing a sign out on the corner. With
But in the same way, we should be talking a lot about the resurrection of the dead. And this is, you know, every time we go to the cemetery, I try and tell families when I'm out there, you know, the cemetery is a place of rest where we await the resurrection.
Yeah.
That's the whole point of having cemeteries. We're waiting here to be raised up with Jesus, right? But so maybe those two areas have to be places that we catechize people.
Yeah, and it needs to inform the way we live. Like that it's, yeah, that it's like we can talk about the resurrection. We can make kind of an evidence-based case for it. You can look at the shroud. You can look at everything. Like, okay, look at the historical fact of the resurrection. But at the end of the day, you know, we're waiting for the second coming of Christ. We live in, we're an Easter people. We live in the kind of reality. This informs the way we live. This informs the decisions that we make. We baptize our children. We go to Mass. We participate in the sacramental life because we take this seriously, because, you know, this you know, gives meaning to what we do. And, you know, we can even say, come back to what you were saying about kind of the messianic expectations of resurrection. It's like you have groups of Jews in the first century that don't believe in the resurrection. You know, Jesus encounters the Sadducees directly, and they challenge him on some of his theology because, you know, they don't necessarily believe.
Are they married in the afterlife, right? Yeah. If they marry five times.
Exactly. And a lot of the kind of texts leading up to the New Testament or like texts that would say, you know, this is what the Messiah is going to be. When there wasn't a strong expectation that the Messiah was going to be resurrected from the dead. That's not found in the Hebrew Bible. That's not found in a lot of the kind of Talmudic or you know, you would say kind of supporting theology for the Jews. A lot of that comes from Jesus himself. That he said, you know, I will destroy this temple
and build it up again.
On the third day, raise it up again. He's talking about the temple of his body, but this is described in hindsight by the gospel writers. You know, before the resurrection, they're scared. They're all together in the room. Some of them flee. Some of them are gone. You know, on the road to Emmaus, they leave Jerusalem because they're like, okay,
we're done.
Yeah. This is the end of the story. They didn't fully understand the significance of the resurrection. But once the resurrection happened, you know, it dramatically changed the apostles' viewpoint. It dramatically informed kind of how they acted and, you know, what they did from there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And in the same way, it should dramatically impact the way we live as Christians, right? I think back to your point before is people were trying to silence the early Christians about speaking about the resurrection, right? Yeah. And today, maybe no one has to force us to be silent about the resurrection, right? And maybe we just don't talk about it enough. But it goes to show, I think, that there is a lack of belief in some of the key teachings of our Christian faith, right? Like there's these polls that come out all the time that show a low number in belief, you know, things like the Eucharist or things now like the resurrection. But I think it's an opportunity for us as Christians to say, hey, we are an Easter people. We are people of the resurrection. And how can we encourage our brothers and sisters
to live that way?
To live the resurrection.
I was challenged just this week, actually, someone talking about the afterlife and talking about martyrdom, actually, and specifically what happens with martyrs. And they said, well, what if your child was martyred? Like, what if your child, a horrific thing for a parent to think, right? But if your faith, like the challenge is like, if your faith is real and you believe what you believe, not that you ever want your child to be martyred, but that is one of the ways that we as a Catholic Church believe, like, to die for your faith is one of the ways you can guarantee your full commitment to your faith and your full commitment to the love of God. But specifically meaning, like, that God sees that as your full belief in him and in his salvation, right? Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. And so just like, wow. So would you be upset? I was like, oh, as on a human, like, every bone in my body as a parent would be upset. Yeah. I said, but my faith, like it, in a way, I don't even know how to describe it, but in my heart, I almost want to leap for joy that as a parent, my job is to get my kid into heaven. And if he made the choice and was martyred for it, then I've done my job and that it was there's a success here and that I'm hopefully going to see him again later on. You know what I mean? But it was just like a wow. It challenged my
core of my absolute faith. And I'm going to be upset, and I don't think that's an unheard of thing, but specifically, but no, there is a part of me that would be rejoicing in the afterlife for my son.
I think Mary is emblematic of that for us, that it's like, it doesn't take away that kind of human pain of, you know, a sword will pierce your heart as well. That it doesn't minimize kind of the, like, we're not lining our kids up to be martyrs.
Yeah,
we recognize that, you know, again, at a very human level, that would be kind of torturous for us to endure. And again, but in the broad eschatological view, that it's like, okay. And you know, it would be interesting to know, how much Mary knew of the resurrection. She knew that Christ would suffer and die. She knew. She understood that part of it, but how much was she given insight into
the building the temple,
the resurrection, and the significance that that would bring for the whole church, but also for her. You know, she's raised to new life as well.
Yeah.
You know, she's raised to the highest position of heaven. Yeah. You know, and you know, in a way that's kind of proportional to her sacrifice, to her fiat, to her willingness to say yes to the whole picture.
Speaking of broad eschatological views, another theological term for the bigger picture, wouldn't that be something? I think maybe we've lost the sense of the bigger picture. Like we are just pilgrims on this earth, and I think that when we get so obsessed with this life here. Hey, we get so attached to this life here, and we find so much joy here, and we find so much excitement here, and we're always on this thrill ride to find the joys of life here. I think that we often forget that we're on a pilgrimage. Like, we're heading somewhere, and that somewhere is longer than our life here, right? And I think people who truly understand that we're on a pilgrimage, people who truly understand the eschatological view, right? People who understand the resurrection truly have their life shaped by Jesus, right? That's why we stick to our prayers. That's why we have certain moral choices. That's why we love the Eucharist. That's why we go to confession. That's why we, like, I think when we have our hearts set on the resurrection, you know, to be raised with Jesus, we look at the resurrection and we say, wow, you know, God raised Jesus from the dead. And we have a share in that. Mm. You know, that should always be on the forefront of our mind, the forefront of our heart. And I think that really will shape the rest of our understanding of our Christian life, right? And I think maybe people have a desire for that. Look at the study. It shows people believe in an afterlife. Well, what do they think the afterlife looks like, right? Because, and you know, there is confusion there. You hear people say stuff like, you know, I hope they're having a drink on a nice beach at home, or I hope, you know, they're on the golf course, whatever. You know, you hear people say stuff like that, but God offers us so much more. Like, God offers us new life. He does that here, but he does that in a more, in a deeper way in the afterlife, and not just in heaven, but in the resurrection. In the resurrection of the dead. So maybe that's a challenge for us, is how do we live the resurrection a little more boldly in our life? Or how do we help people understand that Jesus rose from the dead? Yes, that's true. Jesus rose from the dead, but Jesus will also raise us up from the dead, right? I think that's something that maybe people need to hear. But it might also change the way people live their life here. Well, that's all the time we have today. So if anyone wants to leave a comment, you can on our social media, or drop us a line at askus@thecatholicbuzz.com. For Josh Sullivan and Matt Van Milligan, my name is Father Daniele. We'll see you next time on The Catholic Buzz.